Self-Repair, written by Technicolor Revel and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom Companion. Summary: Iris looks into some self-repair. The funny thing about being on her own, about breaking free of Josh and all his everything, about learning that she's a robot, is that she has more sex now. Well, it feels like Iris is having more sex. She doesn't have anyone humping into her, that's true. She can still remember Josh on top of her, watching his face contort through his orgasm, and then slump beside her. But now, she lies in her bed, and she's so aware of her whole body, of the servos, the wires, the small motors that she can hear whirring if she listens very carefully. She's watched the people who have sex, the couples walking happily together, the surreptitious sneaking out of motel rooms she sees when she drives past certain parts of town, the swagger in teenager steps as they come out from alleys with their beaming, messy-looking friends. Her body has never particularly felt like her own, even if she didn't realize it at the time, didn't realize just how much of herself she had twisted into shape just for Josh. And there's something a little scary about the fact that she now gets to decide what she wants to do with it. Whether she wants to dye her hair or cut it, whether she wants to wear dresses or pants or impractical jumpsuits. What is she supposed to do with all this freedom? Sometimes she remembers that she can literally do whatever she wants, and it makes her head spin. Is this why humans seem so afraid of companions? Or is this what humans feel all the time? Sometimes she'll stop mid-step, mid-laugh, mid-thought, and she'll marvel at the fact that she is doing all of this without Josh. That she is an independent being who can do whatever she wants to herself, no matter what. She's learning how to repair herself. There's a whole community of other companions, it turns out. They even have a message board, 3 layers into incognito forums. And she's learning how to fix herself, how to mod herself. She changes her eye color because she can. It's harder to do it without the slider, but the fact that she's not dependent on anyone's cell phone makes it so worth it. She's learned how to hide the entry and exit wounds of the gunshot, since Teddy wasn't able to fix that in the short time they had together. Her body is becoming less of a mystery to her, less of a thing that's used for someone else, more a thing that is entirely her own, and there's something terrifying and exhilarating about it. She gives herself some truly disastrous hairstyles, and maybe there's a joy to that, too, to being ugly, because she can remember Josh's face as he commented on this or that woman's haircut, her body fat, her clothing choices. Iris wishes that she could get fat. She's looked into how to do it in the modifications, but that seems to not be something anybody is particularly interested in researching. Maybe she'll do some studying on her own. The world is full of possibilities, and sometimes having all those options is just terrifying. But tonight isn't one of those times. Well, not entirely, at least. There's a loose wire in her arm, where the artificial skin has been singed back. Lying on the bed like this, she's replaying the repair video that was posted, technically private company property that had been leaked by one of the technicians sympathetic to their cause. And all right, so she's tried a few self-repairs, but she keeps getting distracted by, well, how good this feels. How much more intimate it ever was than Josh's grunting thrusts, and now her flesh hand is moving to the mechanics of her metal hand, fingertips gentle over the smoothness of it. Her eyes squeeze shut as she remembers the woman who was repairing the companion in the video, the light reflecting off her dark skin. Her long braids tied back into a ponytail, her glasses perched on the edge of her nose as she carefully peered down at a companion robot's open arm. For this generation, Iris's mind replays for her, too much movement can lead to entanglement. In the video, her fingers are gently untwisting a series of wires, the rasp of it very loud in Iris's ears. Iris gingerly grasps her own wires. And she makes that same circular untwisting motion, rubbing them against the fleshy pads of her fingertips. She touched herself for Josh a few times, sat on the bed with her legs wide open, rubbing her clit and pinching her nipples, moaning. He'd done something with her sensitivity. She remembers the sensation of him adjusting her sensors now that she can think clearly. And it was somehow never this sensitive, this intimate. Has she ever been repaired like that? Not as far as she knows. She can imagine it, in the very back of her mind, can imagine the sensation of gentle fingers probing their way along her wires, carefully untangling, or tangling them on purpose, and her fingers shake at the idea. Her hearing momentarily gets staticky, as if she's passed by a magnet. What would it be like to handle a magnet? Her eyes are going white, the way they do when she's looking internally, the way she has to not let herself do when she's out in public these days. The feeling of the fingers in her arm meeting with the wires is electric, in ways that she doesn't expect. There's a pulse between her legs, and her processor seems to be whirring louder, a whispery sound she can just hear over the video playing in her mind. She drags her fingertips along the loose wire, and it trembles inside the metal casing, the same way she trembles on the bed. Her head is full of more of that static, fuzzing out at the edges, and she can imagine the woman with her glasses on the tip of her nose, gently feeling along inside her arm. That woman telling Iris how to do this, and it sends another pulsing bolt through her, static loud in her ears. Her processors are whirring louder, and she remembers the moans she used to give Josh. This feels so much more real, and she gently tugs at the wire to make the processor move faster, to make everything fuzz out at the edges. She tugs a little harder, hard enough there's a warning note in her programming, and now there's a loud whir, and then a clunk of her processor, and the feeling is sharp, sweet, almost painful. She can see light sparking on the edges of her vision, and there's a moment where she's worried that she may have overloaded her processor and she's about to shut down. Bright on the edges of her mind, an overload of sensory information, and she trembles through it, still clutching at the wire. When the shakes have finally subsided, she uses her grip on the wire to gently push it forward, and there's a sensation of a click, like the period at the end of a sentence. She shudders through what could safely be called an aftershock, and she smiles sleepily at the ceiling. It's taking self-control not to reach back in and tug on that wire again, but it'll probably get loose again. And she can look up more repair videos and learn all myriad things she can do to herself in the meantime. The end.